Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, your presence in this place. There's no greater place to be than in the presence with God, with God's people. Lord, speak to our hearts. You are faithful. You are holy. And we thank you for your Son who died for us, really instead of us. Touch these words this morning in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last week, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 7. Last week we talked about surrender, where we are to be dead unto sin, alive unto God. And with that verse, it's really translated to say that victory is in death. Victory comes from death. Victory comes from surrender. And that's always a hard thing. I mean, you ask somebody, hey, will you do this for the Lord? Their first response is, what? Not even yes. What? Will you go here for the Lord? Where? Not yes, where? So our circumstances depend upon what and where is involved. And it lines up with more of convenience. Is it convenient to go? Isaiah said, send me. No what or no where. It's the laying down of one's life. And it's the done in humility. Done into humility that God will direct this and God will lead this. So victory in our lives will only come in surrender. And sometimes that becomes a tough challenge. But God prepares us for that surrender. We're not thrown into it through a series of trials of the building of our faith. As we are thrown into the furnace of life, and the heat is turned up, we learn to trust God. And we learn that there is no other way. And we learn, as we sung, where that place of refuge is that we can run to. And we know this hiding place. And it's not a secluded, it's not something that is, oh, where is it? I knew it was one of these doors that I got to go into. No. We know that place. We know our place. We know the place we are to go. Romans chapter 7. Know you not? Oh, by the way, think of this. Think of this here. The presence of God is always greater than the need of our individual. The presence of God is always greater than that need or that problem that you could be facing. There's no other place to be than in the presence of God. Because all these things, including problems, fall away. Our problems are real. And they are areas of our lives that we need prayer for, but you're never going to get rid of them as long as we're in this flesh. They're going to continue to flood into your mind and into your path and into what you see as far as vision goes, your realm. But God's presence, there's no place for any of these problems or situations. Before Isaiah said, "Send me," it said the train of the train of God filled the temple. It filled it into such a capacity there was no room for anything else, including Isaiah's flesh. Because he looked upon himself, he said, "I am a wicked man. I don't even belong in this presence, and I hang out with wicked people." But when the presence of God came and filled that temple, nothing was, no problem, no situation, no setback, no difficulty was even allowed to be in that place. And that's what's so amazing about the presence of God. So that has really nothing to do with what I'm speaking about today. No. So Romans 7. And in verse 1. "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law have dominion over a man as long as he lives." The law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. "For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosened from the law of her husband." Verse 3, "So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free. She is free from that law, so that she is no longer an adulteress, though she be married to another man." When we accept Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we have now died to ourselves and we are alive unto Him. It's an automatic transformation. It's one of the 95 things that happen the time you say that you believe in Christ by faith. This means it's a complete work of God in your life. And you might not see the transformation of that taking place, but the new man, the new creation, is being conformed to the image of Christ. And this is really like a lot of this that's going on. And what he's saying here is, so when you become born again, that old life is dead. And you are now married to another. Your old self-life is dead. The law has no more control over you. And even though we are still in this body of flesh, we are dead to that also. But the flesh loves to raise its head once in a while and wants to still control the situation of life. And a lot of us, even being born again, are still married to our things of the past. We're still married to the old problems. We are still married to the old lifestyle. We are married still to the old that is already dead. And we walk, we look for the living as we're walking amongst the dead. We are looking for the things of God, but we're still living in the old nature. And remember in Luke 24, I think it's 4, 5, 6, somewhere in that neighborhood, it said two angels were speaking to the women who went to the grave. And as they seen these angels, they hit the deck, they hit the floor with their face to the ground. And these two angels said, "Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead?" And this is what we do. We want a fellowship with what is dead, even though we have this new amazing life that God has freely given us. And that's what it means to be married still to another. We're still married to this old man, this man that's supposed to be dead. In Galatians last week, I gave you the scripture, Galatians 2:20. And it says, "For I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but the life that is within me, this new life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who died for me and gave himself for me and who loves me." But before getting to that, before realizing that I am no longer, that I am crucified, the verse before that in 19 says, "For I through the law am dead and alive unto God." It's hard to know that we have been crucified with Christ if we don't know that we are dead. Because we feel that we have to live it. And we live it in the flesh, and that becomes religion. And religion does not please God. We can't please God in the flesh. Flesh and blood will not even enter the kingdom of God. He's not concerned with your flesh. Your flesh cannot and will not ever please God. It's impossible for it to do it. But we try in the flesh. It's a good showing in the flesh. Instead, we die to ourselves and Christ lives through us. Now you are imparting life to others because it's coming from the essence of life. It's coming from the only one that can give life, which is Christ Jesus. So the old man could not please God, and it can't even live for God. The flesh cannot live for God. It'll fail every time. And you will be frustrated in your so-called religion. The Pharisees did this, and Jesus saw it right out. And this is why he went against them with everything. He says, "You live for the law, but you don't do anything to help those who are under the law. You are putting more burdens upon their back. And more laws upon their back, and more man-made laws. There's more than the Ten Commandments. There's 600 and some man-made laws that you also have to live for. And if you are guilty of one, the Bible says you are guilty of it all. Impossibility. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus Christ with all his accolades and his requirements that he has fulfilled everything of the law, Jesus said, "Okay, then you lack just one thing. Go and sell all that you have and follow me." And the Bible says this guy went away troubled. Because the requirement of the bar never stops rising if you think you can accomplish it. Once you accomplish one, it goes up again. And it's an impossibility to fulfill that. So instead, look what he says here in verse 4. 7:4. "Wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ." You also are dead. Just like the husband is dead and you're released from that burden, you are also dead to the law and release from that burden. How? Because of the body of Christ. Now this is amazing, because what this is speaking about here, this body of Christ, what it's speaking for is being baptized into Christ. That's all chapter 6. That's all it's talking about. That you are baptized into Christ. Now listen what this means. This is not water baptism. This has nothing to do with water baptism. Because the John the Baptist said, "I baptize you with water. But somebody else is going to come and he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit." This is being baptized into Christ. Let me show you this. Okay, yeah. Chapter 6. Romans 6. And I love the way this starts out. Because in verse 20, it says, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Romans 5:20. And you know what? We get that even today. When we tell people it is by grace, they respond back to us, well, you're giving people the license to sin. Paul's dealing with the same thing here, the same question. And, you know, that is an answer completely in the flesh. That is not spirit at all. And look how Paul answers it in verse 6:1, Romans 6:1. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin then, that grace abounds? Same thing. You're giving people the license to sin. You're telling them it's all about grace. Look at his answer. God forbid. This is not the message of grace, that we have a freedom to live our lives according to our flesh. Because the reason why is, if your flesh is dead, how do you live according to the flesh?
Yeah.
It's an impossibility. So he says, God forbid that you are dead to sin, you no longer live. And then verse 3, know you not? Don't you know? To give an answer like that, you just don't know. Paul's saying you're clueless to what this is even saying. You don't know. So many of us that were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. So when you accepted Jesus Christ, you have been baptized already into his death. This is the baptism of Christ. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that has been given unto you. Did you do anything? No. You said yes to Christ, and you did that by faith. And faith is also a gift. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit in Galatians 5:23. So even the measure of faith that you said yes to Christ, you didn't even strum up on your own. It was given to you. So now we are baptized. So this is this is being baptized into Christ. And this is why we are dead to the old and now alive unto the new. And we are baptized, of course, also into one body. So, therefore, you have become dead to the law of the body of Christ, that you should, look at why. The reason why we are baptized in Christ, that you should be married to another. That you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, we are now dead to the law, and we're now married to another. We are dead to the law. We are not under the law. You are under grace. Matter of fact, grace's requirements is even higher than the law. It's the perfect law of love that we are under now. You want to be under the law? Be under the perfect law of love. James 2, right? The perfect law of love and the perfect law of liberty. That's how it is. In James 1, 26 and 27, the perfect law of love, James 2, 8, right? Yes. So the perfect law of liberty and the perfect law of love. That's your requirement under the law. Stay under the love of God and the liberty to serve God. The liberty and the freedom to serve him. Now look at this. So now we are married to another. We're not married under that no more. We're not married for our problems and our past life. We are married to another. We are married under Christ for one purpose. For one purpose only, right? To be raised from the dead with him, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We die to self. We are alive under him to bring fruit unto God. Now check this out. Stay with me on this. You guys with me? Yes. John 12. John 12. So now I am married to another. I give myself to another. I give myself to another who has a purpose for my life. I give myself to another who has a plan for me in my life. I give myself to another who's got hope for me. This is who I'm now giving myself to. He's got an amazing plan. He's got a vision for me. He's got hope for my life. He's got a purpose in my life. The law doesn't give you no purpose. The law tells you you are guilty. The law stands up strong and says you are guilty. And it's holy. The law is holy. And it's doing what it's supposed to do. But it can't give you hope. It can't give you grace. It can't give you life. It gives you death. The law crucifies that flesh within us. And there is no plan. There's no filling of the Holy Spirit on the law. Because the letter kills. But the Spirit gives life. We are now married to another. We're brought together from another. Does it talk anything about how bad your past was? Does it give you any direction of how you failed over and over and over? Not once. Not once. The grace restores you. This is married to another. What do you want to be married to? Do you want to be married to the law that's constantly talking and condemning you in your past and in your failures and in your problems? It's constantly doing. It's bombarding you with these issues. Or do you want to be married to God's grace, who says, you are my child and you are forgiven. And receive my mercy now. And you are the apple of my eye. And I've got this amazing plan for you. But that plan comes in surrender. As we surrender under the mighty hand of God. This amazing surrender. John 12, look at this. Now, let me bring you up. In John 11, it starts with the resurrection of Lazarus. Christ raises Lazarus from the dead, and it's a picture of dying and being risen to life. The Christian will never see death. This whole chapter in 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection of the life. And Martha and Mary said, oh yeah, we understand that in the last day. And he goes, no, not in the last day, now. It's now. I am life. And our life is found in Christ. And though you may die, you will live. And now when we die to self, we live unto God. We are married to another. We are living unto God. And this is exactly why Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Right after that event, right after raising Lazarus from the dead, he heads to Jerusalem. He's going to go to the cross himself. He's going to go die physically so we will never die. And all the sins of the world will be put upon him. And that's going to allow this new marriage that we're going to be married to another. Not married to the old man, married to the new man. So in John 12, it starts off by Mary anoints and washes his feet. and prepares him for this burial, for this death. And then he enters into Jerusalem. Now look at verse 20 and stay with me on this and we'll close. John 12:20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship him at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which is at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Desired him, saying, Sir, we want to see Jesus. Do we desire him this morning? Do we desire to see Jesus? This is the start of a surrendered life, is where your entire desire is not the desire of the things of this world, because they will fade away. And by the way, somebody who is dead in Christ cannot desire anything but Christ. Their whole desire, we desire to see him. Desire to see Christ. And this is amazing because Christ is facing death. And these are Gentiles that come and desire him. And this is where the two are going to become one. The Jew and the Gentile are going to be brought together. And it started right here, even before the cross, as these Greeks desire to see him. They desire to know about him. They desire to go after him. Listen, we've come a long way. We've put all that aside. We put our old life away. And we've come to Jerusalem and we're desiring to see him. What an amazing desire of humility and love within a person that Christ draws us. He draws us by his love. And in that drawing, he puts within us this amazing desire, a desire to be married to another. Not of the law, a desire to marry him. And they go to Philip. And Philip goes to Andrew. And Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And look at this. And Jesus, and this is, when you desire to see Christ, there's only one answer that's going to come. There's only going to be one answer. When we surrender ourselves unto God in humility and understand that we are dead to self, but alive unto God, and it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives within me. When I come to that realization and then I desire to see him, Christ will answer with one answer only. You know, we want all these answers from Christ. Oh, fix this, deal with this, stop this, fix my marriage, heal my finances, change this, stop that. And we have all these lists. And Christ has only one answer for the person who is crucified with Christ. The flesh desires many things. The spirit within man desires one thing, to see Jesus. And so that's your only desire, to see Christ. That's it. And Christ will answer you. As our heart goes towards Christ, as we humble ourselves in surrender unto God, he will answer you. He will answer the one that sets his face, our face towards his. I want to see Christ. There's nothing else that matters in this life but seeing Christ. Is this your desire today? Do you have a desire to see Christ, or do you have a desire for all these plans? And we lay out all these plans in our lives, and all of a sudden they fall one at a time. Poof, 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 they just drop. Oh, I'll just go to some other plan. All of man's plans will die. There is nothing from it. It is in Corinthians. It's wood, hay, and stubble. Man's plans. And what happens to that? Burns up. There's no eternal value. And I'm not saying not to have plans. God will put those in your heart. And God will lead you. But the one that desires to go after him. And look at the answer that Christ gives this person. Look at how he answers the ones that desires to see him. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verse 23. John 12, 23. Verily, verily, I say unto you, and that means truly, truly, or surely, surely, I say unto you, except a corn of the wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it will bring forth fruit. If it dies, it will bring forth fruit. Romans 7, 4, the end part. Even to him who is raised from the dead, that we shall bring forth fruit. Desiring for Christ is to bring forth fruit. Unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, it will abide alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth fruit. Now look at this though. If wheat falls to the ground and die, wheat does not produce fruit. You with me? Wheat doesn't produce fruit. Wheat produces grain. There's no fruit in that. But unless the wheat falls to the ground and dies, we cannot bring forth fruit of ourselves. And either can wheat bring forth fruit of itself. We will bring forth what is in us. Wheat will bring forth what is in it. Grain. But Christ don't want grain. Christ wants fruit. And same thing with our lives. We must bring forth something else. And it's not that we bring forth it. When we die to ourselves, we are crucified in Christ. We are married to another. The other can bring forth fruit, though. We can't bring forth fruit. Only the other can bring forth fruit. We will bring forth what's in our flesh. We could bring forth what's our good works, what we think pleases God. But unless we die and fall to the ground, we will bring forth that of Christ. If we don't fall to the ground and die, we will bring forth that of the flesh. It's not fruit, though. It's wood, hay, and stubble. And it will be burnt up. We must die. We must fall. Amazing answer. We've come to see Jesus fall to the ground and die. What is it? That was the answer. That was the answer. Our flesh cannot bring forth fruit, just as wheat cannot bring forth fruit. Unless we die, we will only bring forth our flesh. But when we die, we bring forth another.
Yes.
We bring forth the fruit of another who's already died, that none of us shall die. Our death is death to self, but we are alive unto God. Now, last thing. And this whole thing is amazing in John 12. But we have problems, right? We have many problems. And we even need to learn to die to them. And it's hard because they're always resurrecting. The problems are resurrecting. When the flesh resurrects and our focus is on the problems and everything else, and we're going to have problems, and problems are never going to stop, by the way, but there's something greater than the problem. And we talked about the presence of God as one,
The presence of God is always greater than the problem. But also the solution is greater than the problem. And there's only one that has a solution to all problems. We try to fix our problems on our own, and we dig ourselves into deeper problems. Problem on top of problem on top of problem. Why? Because we have not died to self. And it's resurrecting into something other than fruit. That's how you know that you die, is because fruit comes forth. And the kids are being taught the fruit of the Spirit. The amazing fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:23. And none of the fruit, it's singular, it's not plural. That's why I think it all stems from love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and then joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, all come from love. They all abound out of love. But none of those can be self-generated by our flesh. It must take one to die for that fruit to come forth. So, we have nothing but problems. Christ has nothing but solutions. Solutions only. Does Jesus ever come to you with problems? You know, do you come to him and say, "Oh Lord, look what happened here and this and this and this problem." And does Christ come back and say, "Well, you should see what I went through today." Did you go to the cross? No. You know, sometimes our problems is not as big as you see what Christ went through. And even we just got out of Acts and everything that Paul went through. Oh, man. It means, you know, it's like, boy, all is well. You know, that's all I want to confess. You know, once you see his life. But he understands we have problems, and we are to cast those upon him, because we're not meant to that. To carry them. So stay within the solutions and seek and desire after the solution. The solution is found in Christ. So we fix our eyes on the solution, and the problem will fade away eventually. It still could raise its ugly head once in a while. But things seem a lot more dimmer when you're desiring after Christ, right? Remember, the things of this world will grow strangely dim. They're growing dim because our eyes are focused on Christ. And he has the solution. Let me tell you another thing. He might keep you in the problem. He keeps us in the problem because he says you're not dead to self yet. Let's keep this problem around you for a while. You know, stay in this for a little bit. But he's always there. And I love the songs we sing, and you know, of running to that hiding place. Because in every problem, the solution is there, but will we listen to the voice of the shepherd to run to it? You know, run to the hiding place. Oh, no, I'm going to deal with this problem for a while. I'm going to try to mess with it for a little bit. But the solution's here. The solution's in the hiding place. We are so stubborn within ourselves. And we think we've got this amazing strength, but we are so, so weak. You know? We are so weak. So, desire Christ today. This is the message that goes forth to the body today, that you desire Christ. And we let nothing get in the way from us desiring after Christ. Our problems are only on the surface, and they're only temporary. And what I mean by temporary, they're temporary compared to eternal. The Israelites walked 40 years in circles, and that was still a temporary problem. We go 3 days and we're losing our minds, pulling our hair out. Everything is done to build this character of love within your life. Desire Christ and watch everything just fade away. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, who desired us. He desired us when we were not desirable. He desired us when we were enemies with Christ. He desired us in our lowest point of our lives. If there's somebody here that has never accepted this free gift of salvation, you don't receive it by doing the law. You receive it by being married to another. He died for your sins. So with nobody looking around, if there's somebody here that has never accepted Christ that would like to now, just raise up your hand. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. And some of us are going through these immense problems. It seems like one is piling on top of the other. And when that happens, it's like I can't even dig my way out. And our words to you today is just desire Christ. And remember that you are dead to yourself and alive unto God, and you are now married to another. Lord, I just pray for the offering. I pray for missions all around the world. We pray for our upcoming trip unto Haiti. Lord, continue to open doors in that country. And all the work that's going in Haiti and in Dominica and those islands, Caribbean all the way through. What an amazing work that you're doing for those that desired Christ. We just also pray for our service tonight in Fort Lauderdale. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so we'll we have some food next door. We got Georgie and Josiah's birthday, right? Right? Did you just have a birthday? You and JoJo. That's funny. So we've got some food next door, and we'll talk about Christ. And we might not talk about our problems, but we will give solutions. But we can talk about our problems. Do we all have them? It's not nothing we hide. But God is greater than that problem. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're facing. Lord, just cover us this week. And you are the Lord of our lives. Teach us what it is to desire more after you. And we just thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.